Tonight's Big Brother recap is sponsored by TrueCar. In order to feel comfortable you're getting a fair price, you need pricing context. That's information that empowers you to feel confident. And with TrueCar, you can see what other people in your local market pay for the car that you want. And from there, you can connect with a local TrueCar certified dealer and enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Once you register for TrueCar, you'll see real pricing on actual inventory. That's competitive pricing offered to you only by a TrueCar certified dealer for an actual vehicle that's on their lot. It's pricing you'll see before you go to a dealership, so you can feel confident when you show up. And with TrueCar, you can connect with a local certified dealer of your choosing and enjoy a quick and easy car buying experience. TrueCar customers are more likely to enjoy a faster buying process too when they connect with those TrueCar certified dealers, and TrueCar users save an average of over $3,000 off of MSRP. So when you're ready to buy that new or used car, visit TrueCar to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now here's the guy who definitely 100% was not in the podcast studio last week. I know that for a fact. I am Rob Sestrini. Hello, everybody. And welcome back to Rob Has a Podcast. And we've got some stuff to talk about here on a Big Brother Sunday night where the temptation competition was played and we saw people fighting to throw it. That's the drama that we are into right now in Big Brother 19. Of course, lots of stuff to get into as well from over the weekend on the live feeds. And so here with me to join me, two of our esteemed live feed correspondents. First, a man who I had the pleasure of going to go see the Emoji movie with the other day. And so, Alex Kiwell, what is your emoji at this hour?
I'm solid meh.
Solid right now. So that means you're all the emojis.
I'm having no trouble making that face as opposed to the lead character in that movie.
Yeah. And then also joining with me, Brent Walgamott. Brent, what emoji are you?
I was thinking if I was speaking like Taron Armstrong, I would probably call myself a steaming pile of poo.
Yeah, why
Sir Patrick Stewart?
Poop?
Okay,
that's how I feel right now after watching this season, Rob. It's just it's like going through molasses. It's tough to get through.
Yeah, and that we've seen that competition before on Big Brother. So
yes, I know Cappy. Right?
We're going to talk about the episode tonight, and then we'll talk about the live feed. So get your questions in hashtag RHAP on a late night West Coast edition of the Big Brother 19. And yeah, you know, I feel like I'm starting to come to a place where I think you guys might have been for a while, where I felt like, boy, Paul does have things on lock, but, you know, he's not really going to win, right? You know, it's like the thing, you know, it's not a foregone conclusion. There's a lot of time left. Things can change. It's not necessarily going to be that way. But, Brent, I feel like I'm starting to really come to terms with it. I'm not sure what stage of grief I'm in.
I think you're right where I am right now, which is acceptance. I really am ready to pronounce the season dead. It is dead. I need to go get my funeral attire. I honestly don't even know why you're paying Alex Kidwell to cover this season anymore. I understand why you're paying me because I'm at least entertaining.
Yes.
But, you know, I don't understand why we're here.
My heart.
I can tell you how this season's going to go. I mean, look, here's the thing. There is a little bit of life, but the patient is brain dead. There is no,
oh, no
game left in Big Brother 19. And I'm sorry to be a negative Nelly about it. I really am. I don't want to be here and say it's a fait accompli at this point, but it's true. Paul is going to win the game. That's what's going to happen. The only sliver of hope where we could shock this patient back to life that I'm not even sure would be disappointing if it's a Vanessa BB17-esque turn where he controls the entire season all the way down to the end of the line and loses a fluke competition based on, you know, whether or not you want to clean someone's nasty teeth at the end. But that is what we're hanging on right now. I guarantee you Paul's going to the final three and he's probably going to win.
Yeah, I feel similar, where I don't necessarily know if it's a foregone conclusion that Paul is the winner, but I feel like that on finale night, Paul is there and they bounce of the ball. And I feel like that's not even a satisfying conclusion.
It's not.
In that, okay, Paul outplayed everybody by 10 miles and then didn't win the game. And, you know, Christmas won, although that was my winner pick. You know, so I would feel, you know, slightly better about that. But overall... Yeah, Alex, do you feel like that there are any twists and turns left in this season?
It's hard to see. I mean, he really is. He's just running circles around everyone. I mean, there's just, you know, they're busy, you know, talking about how awesome they are that they outlasted Jessica and made it to jury. And Paul's, you know, setting himself up to win $500,000. I mean, it's just, it's a whole nother level of what, you know, the way that the mind is working, I think, at this point. And yeah, I mean, really, I almost feel it's a situation. It's very hard to watch the feeds right now. And it's kind of like, you know, wake me up when we get to Final Four, almost, when the competitions become everything, or wake me up if something happens. But other than that, it's hard to see things changing.
And Brett, I'm not in the camp that, oh, Paul sucks, that I certainly don't feel that way. I feel like that he's playing on such an elite level. My problem is that the whole rest of this house sucks. And this was a night tonight where we saw they can't wait to rat each other out to Paul.
And it continues. I mean, it's just one right after the other. Anytime anybody tries to make a move against Paul, whoever they're talking to runs instantly back to Paul. I think for two reasons. Number one, they really do want Paul to get to the end because they love the guy so much and he's such an awesome guy. Number two, they don't want to be caught by somebody else if they don't run back to their master and instantly tell him what somebody else told them. So I don't know. I kind of feel like it's actually more the former, which to me is even more disappointing. You saw Matt on the feeds tonight. I mean, who the hell is this guy and how do they find him? How, because he has no game in him whatsoever. He's playing on some other show. He doesn't know what he's on. He's talking about being a team player. You know, and I mean, again, I've said this before. You know, I can hear you, Raven, in the diary room going, you know, I want to get out Mark and Elena because they're flip-floppy and I don't really like them. Well, if you get rid of then who's the only showman's left in the house, honey? That's you. But you're not seeing it right now, and neither is Matt. Matt doesn't even care. You know when you called Steve and Johnny Mac losers on the podcast, famously? Okay, yeah. You should have saved that for Matt, because he's a loser. He doesn't care what happens to
That's
Steve.
Not what Alex Kidwell told me, Brent.
Yeah, I know. Well, we were had such high hopes for him coming into this season.
Well, to be fair... I think he does pretty well in life, especially with ladies. I don't think that's going to be like, I saw somebody tweet this earlier. It was like, Matt's never going to be able to get a girl outside of the house. I'm like, really? Really? You think Matt's not going to be able to get any girls outside of the house?
All right, well, let's not talk about it. We don't need to get into that. No, Brent, we saw Christmas talking a lot about, hey, wait a second here, that, you know, these guys are talking to Cody. If these showmances, if Mark and Elena and Matt and Raven get together with Cody, guess what? They've got five people. But I mean, is there any chance that this is happening? Why is this
well,
such a
here's
concern?
The thing. You know what? It could have happened. It could have happened if Paul's not in the house. And I'll tell you, look, it's not about Paul being in the house. It's about him being a vet and knowing the game better. You saw Alex left her own devices. She wanted to put up Matt and Elena, obviously before the safety competition had taken place. She thought Matt and Elena would be great nominees. But Paul wisely told them, you know, hey, guys, why am I going to think about this a little bit? Like, you know, Mark and Elena are already pissed at us. Like, let them be more pissed. Who cares? We can't win them back. We don't want to let Matt and Raven know that they're not in the big circle yet. You know, we don't want them to get their antennas up yet. So make sure you don't go after them as well and piss them off. And then they might actually get together. Like, Paul is putting out all these fires so expertly, and again, I'm of two minds about it, because I know he is playing circles around everybody, and that's certainly true. The house is certainly dumb, that's certainly true. But on the other hand, he is a vet. He has so many advantages. He was safe for 3 weeks. He got to hand out the friendship bracelets. You know, he gets to vet-splain everything to everybody, and they get to feel safe. So why would they go after Paul at this point? Because they all just want to be safe. As long as it's not me, I don't care. And so that's where we're at right now. I can tell you exactly how the season's going to go. It's going to go Mark and Elena out next, Matt and Raven, then Kevin, and then we're down to a final five. And, you know, it's probably going to be like Christmas Josh and Paul at the end if Paul has his way, because he definitely wants Christmas in there because she can't even compete.
You know, it's a really tough spot, I think, for the show. And I think they've done a good job up until this point of, you know, that between all the Jess and Cody drama. But without Jess, Cody has even, you know, gotten to be boring. He's sort of like resigned to his fate to some degree, where he's trying to throw competitions just to get a chance to play in the veto coming up on Wednesday night's episode. But you have Paul, who is the only bright spot in this cast. I mean, you could argue, okay, Josh has brought something to the table at some point. So it's almost different than the Derek scenario in Big Brother 16. And I feel like in some ways this could turn out to be worse, where Derek had everything on lockdown, but he was kind of a vanilla character on the show. You had all these other really colorful personalities like Zach and like Beast Mode Cowboy and Frankie and Donnie in that season. And so there was big personalities, and then Derek was sort of like the normal one. I mean, Paul is the only person that's, you know, a actual personality that's on the show, you know, outside of Josh, and he's like a one-trick pony. It's like it doesn't behoove production in any way to sort of like throw a real curveball at him to try to get him out of the house, because then what do you have, Alex Kidwell?
Not much. I mean, there's not a whole lot else going on. I mean, the fact that Matt and Raven are oblivious to the fact they're so on the bottom because they're just like running around playing grab ass all day.
What would the show be without Paul?
It's a vacuum, and yeah, no, there's not a lot going on otherwise. It's a lot of boring, who knows though, to be honest. Like, Paul really has locked down the season to a degree where people are afraid to even try to play the game. So it's hard to even say definitively what it would look like. I mean, that would create a void. You know, Mark's talked about it. Like, you know, people can't do anything because Paul's here. I mean, if Paul were to go somehow, maybe it makes for a more interesting season. I mean, I definitely think that's possible. I just think on some level, like, we did just kind of somehow end up with like the perfect storm of people who just don't seem really hard pressed to want to do much in the way of like putting themselves in a winning position in this game.
Brett, I'm just saying, like, from the production standpoint, you're sort of like damned if you do, damned if you don't. Like, if you know, people are saying, okay, well, there's no gameplay because of Paul, but Paul is like the one person who at least is a character in the diary room and is giving the show something. So if, like, in the past, there's been some people who've said, you know, like, okay, all of a sudden Rachel and Jordan get to play a POV together or whatever, you know, that there have been things that they pull out of the old Pandora's box to shake things up in a certain direction. I don't even think the show would want that.
No, I don't think they would either. But on the other hand, I feel like that it's a mess of their own making. You know, they're the one who screwed up a perfectly great cast by throwing Paul into the mix and then swapping him out with another house guest that was actually pretty awesome in Cameron. I mean, but I just feel like that this is the bed, like Alex said previously on the show, like that you made your bed, you're going to have to lie in it. And this is the bed that they've made. So of course they're going to have to lie in a bed that involves Paul, but it doesn't mean that it's necessarily fun to watch. And I certainly don't think that it's so funny because Mark, and this is not a spoiler, but he said this yesterday, I believe, where he was talking about this season. And he's like, you know, seasons with big groups where everybody does what the house wants, those are the seasons that just suck. He's like, our season is actually like season 16, but at least season 16 had memorable characters. And I'm like, that's a pretty amazing self-awareness to realize that that's exactly what your season looks like right now. So that's where we're at.
Yeah, well, and I think even some seasons where you have the big group can be interesting, but I think what this season and 16 both suffer from is, like, even within the big group, no one's making any kind of moves to try to make sure that they have the big group within the big group. Like, no one's jockeying for a better position because they all feel comfortable with where they're at. And that's just like that level of complacency is the problem. I think there's just so many people who think like, oh, okay, well, I'm good for Final Five or something, so I don't have to worry for a few weeks. Like, and they're not going to worry until it's their time to worry. And that's too late. Like, this, all these games are games of numbers. I think we've seen it time and time again this season where the HOH just like doesn't seem to realize realize that it's a game of votes, that they don't have all the power, that like whoever they want to go home doesn't go home because they need numbers to make it happen. And it's just, you know, I think there's a lot of just fundamental misunderstandings when it comes to like the basic tenets of how this game is played this season, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, I felt bad for Kevin tonight, where Kevin was talking to Cody and the was chastising him. And I felt like that Kevin made a good point. He's like, what? He's got nothing. He's got nothing going on. We'll just knock him out. It's like, yeah, what's going to happen with Kevin and Cody? I mean, who is the alliance that's being formed there, Brent?
Well, I don't think there is anything necessarily. But on the other hand, Kevin has opened up his mouth and said a few too many things.
Sure, like sure.
What he said to Cody about, you know, hey, as long as you protect me, Paul, Alex, and Jason, which, by the way, is Kevin's version of an alliance, then, you know, we'll protect you, which, you know, again, that's a deal that's unnecessary. It's like, I feel like in some ways, Kevin is a little bit bored, like the game's being played around him and, you know, pieces are being lined up. And I feel like he wants to play too. The good thing about Kevin is I feel like he has a little of me in him, like where he's not going to take that for very long. Like you piss him off, he's going to be like, F you all, you know, I'm going to go do my own thing over here. I don't care if I go out in seventh place. And hopefully that happens. But right now it just doesn't seem to be happening, you know, and if things play out the way that we think they're going to play out, if Cody's chip doesn't get drawn out of the bag, Cody's probably going to go home this week, and then what happens? You know, then, I mean, maybe Mark and Elena, maybe Kevin pisses somebody off, but I feel like that at the end of the day, what Paul says is what happens. Paul doesn't want Kevin to go yet, and so Kevin isn't going to go yet until Paul says he can go.
Mm, yeah. Alex, we've talked about this a lot over the years with Big Brother, where there tends to be this philosophy in the house. Okay, once this person is marked for eviction, they are sort of like they have the scarlet letter on them. Nobody is allowed to talk to them. And nobody seems to like this type of play. Kevin is just seemingly talking to Cody, but you know that's making him another persona non grata.
Yeah. Well, that really is like the atmosphere that Paul has cultivated this season. I think that is representative of one very dominant player. I mean, you see it with Derek and Big Brother 16. I mean, Boston Rob or Redemption Island, famously,
sure.
I mean, they're not even allowed to go to the bathroom by themselves.
You have to have a buddy with you at all
times.
They
weren't allowed to eat the food of the other alliance. You know, I mean, they were starving out there, and the other alliance is like, we found fish, and Boston Rob's like, you can't eat that. And then they're like, oh, I can't eat that. I mean, that's powerful. If you can control people's mind on that level, I mean, what can't you get them to do? You know, so I mean, you have to give Paul credit for fostering that level of, you know, I mean, brainwashing. He really has sold these people on that he's got their best interests at heart and nobody's like double checking what he tells them. I mean, there are select pockets that really have Paul as an intermediary to other pockets of this big group. And, you know, you're not seeing Matt and Raven ever just like have a real sit down with like Kevin or Jason to like, hey, is what Paul's telling you like the same as what, you know, like you're just not seeing those conversations take place. And, you know, give kudos to Paul for preventing it. I mean, he's working hard to make sure they're always, you know, steps behind, but also, you know, there's some knocks to be had for all these people who just don't seem to care enough to validate their position in this game.
Okay, even though it may not seem like it, Alex is the HOH. Brent, Alex started calling herself the Showmance Killer tonight, which I thought was an odd nickname she gave herself. One, Paul had already given himself that nickname this season, and Alex is really like trying, like she's doing a lot of like miming and getting sound effects.
Yeah, I don't know where that's coming from. Maybe she's just so misted by Paul. I saw somebody tweet that earlier. I can't remember who it was, but I read your tweet anyway. But she really is. She's just misted by him. She's just so into him. I was so taken by a tweet from our Alex Kidwell, because Alex in the house said, you know, Paul, he can't go against friendship. You know, that's his entire franchise. And Alex, our Alex, is like, what franchise? What are you talking about? You know, you're crazy. You're nuts. It's not a business. It's a damn slogan, you idiot. I really think, by the way, that it's going to be very, very fun at the end of this season when they do the, you know, put the HOHs in order, because it's going to be, we'll have record-setting times, Rob. It's going to be like, you know, Cody, Paul, Jessica, Paul. So, like, you know, there, it's easy. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be too harsh. Like, I got a Dead Skull t-shirt. I like them. They're nice. But Paul's not Starbucks. He's a 24-year-old kid with a t-shirt. Like, let's be real about what this is.
Oh, no. We're getting coffee. We've got everything going on.
It's branding, your boy, marketing, PR genius.
The grande friendship. You'll see. Okay. So we got to this temptation competition. And so Cody had two paths that he could have taken. One, to try to win the competition, or two, to try to throw the competition. I thought that he would have tried to win the competition, but I don't know if he was expecting something that was trivia based. And you guys had spoken a lot about how he was a little distracted last week and not studying so much. This was not something that he could just beast out. All he had to do was throw this competition. And it seems like this would be a pretty easy competition to throw. Just try to remember to not be standing on the room that you were in when you heard these noises. And Cody felt like, well, I was never in the have-not room last week. I'll just pick the have-not every single time. And since I was never in there, then that's what I'll do. Brent, for the people who can't see your reaction right now, what are you saying?
I didn't understand this. I mean, like, you were in the have-not room a bunch last week. Why in the world would you use that as your one default room? Like, if there was one room you really weren't in very much, it was the HOH room. You were not in the HOH room hardly at all. I can't even remember one time you were in the HOH room last week. I mean, it was Josh's HOH, right? So, I mean, like, was it Josh's? I don't know. Anyway, you weren't there. That's what I'm trying to say. You weren't there. Yeah, it was Josh's HOH because he wanted Elaine out. Then he switched to Jessica. But yeah, I don't understand why he didn't just do that. When I first saw, like, oh, this is so interesting because we talked about this, you know, what would Big Brother do if two people or more tried to throw a competition? And here we have Cody, who I just assumed went for it and lost, but no, he really tried to throw it. And Matt, who's also trying to throw it. And when I saw him go to the have-not room every time, I'm like, oh, God, I know somehow he's been in the have-not room when the noises have been played. I remember seeing him there, and he made a mistake.
Yeah.
This competition really reminded me of, like, the Saturday Night Live skits where Will Ferrell was Alex Trebek. And, like, the answers for Final Jeopardy were always so easy, and somehow they always got them wrong. Like, just write a number. It could be any number. How about a 1 or a 2? Or maybe a 3. And this time it was like, pick a room that you weren't in. It could be the bathroom. Or maybe the bedroom. Or how about the kitchen is nice. It was like,
or even the backyard.
Got it wrong. How'd you get it wrong?
Just
anywhere. That's
room.
Not where you were.
Yeah. Nope. No, he could not do it. He could not do it. I mean, and then we were sitting there and it was just like a weird thing to, I've never watched a competition on Big Brother where the only drama was, can another person get the question wrong so that there could be a tie for who's the loser of this competition just to get a shot to be on the block to potentially play in the veto coming up in the next episode? I'm like, what are the stakes here?
Well, I mean, I think Cody probably made a strategic call that he was not going to win this competition because he was busy with other things last week. And I don't think you knew the sounds as well as, you know, say other people in the house. And by the way, it's so much easier to study for these kind of things if you're in a big group because all of the big group was comparing notes. They were all comparing notes. There was a little bit of misinformation out there with the sort of Matt and Raven goes and what Paul wanted people to tell them. And it's obviously Matt, Mark, and Elena. But the big group was working together, you know, about what sounds were when. And I don't know if they knew about, you know, what room you're in. That was actually a really fun twist. But, you know, the fact that they were also able to talk during the competition, I also dislike that as well, because if you weren't sure of the answer, you could ask your friend or your buddy or your alliance member, and they'd say, oh, you were here with me when the lawnmower came on. So, you know, come over here. Mm-hmm. So I would rather them just picked a room while they were in their stall so they couldn't see anybody. But I liked the visual of what Big Brother was going for. They should have just said you can't talk.
Yeah, I kind of like this competition also because it was a new competition that they hadn't done before, so it was hard to prepare for. Nobody was looking to see, okay, if they did this next year, people might say, okay, I know, okay, we were all in this room when this happened. This was all they didn't know what to expect, so I thought that this was ultimately pretty good. But yeah, Cody blew it. He did not get the last place or first place in the Temptation competition. Ultimately, Mark does. And Mark is somebody who has been stirring the pot to a degree. We saw him with Jason. He gets into a big blow up with Christmas in this episode. And he does seem like that he is the one person in this group that's willing to stick it to Paul. But these competitions that he's winning are not doing him any favors, Alex, because it seems like that very clearly if Cody goes out on Thursday, Mark could follow him out the door.
Yeah, and this is the problem with the way everyone's thinking, and it's reminiscent of Big Brother 16, right? Where week by week, people are like, oh, I need to win safety for myself this week. And everyone's just thinking about saving themselves for the week. And no one's thinking about improving their position so they don't have to worry next week and the week after and stuff like that. I mean, no one's just forward thinking enough in this game to make any kind of, you know, lasting change. So Mark is just going to kind of put his head down and win competitions until he doesn't. And then he's going to go home because that's like just the way that he's playing this game. I mean, he keeps getting into, you know, these confrontational situations with people and putting his foot in his mouth, and then he's not defending himself. I mean, he's leaving all of these confrontations looking like someone who is guilty because he's just not willing to, you know, stand his ground at all. I mean, he's really just kind of taking abuse.
Yeah.
And, you know, he doesn't need to. I mean, he has nothing to gain by doing it at this point.
Brent, what was Christmas's problem in this episode tonight? First off, that I blame Josh for this, but the term boo-boo has been way too normalized in this house. Everybody is boo-boo to each other.
I mean, she's a bitch. Let's just call it. I'm sorry. I don't like her. It's all very easy for her to get into a fight with Mark when she's in the power position, when she has, you know, eight people in an alliance backing her up. I think that's pathetic for you to go after him when you know he's by himself and he doesn't have any power in the game, and you just pick a fight because you want to pick a fight. She picked a fight with him just like Jessica last week. She picked a fight with him because she just felt like it, and I got no respect for that. Only I get to do that.
Why? Who
also,
do you pick
yeah,
a
nobody
fight
using
with,
boo boo. Nobody's using boo boo right, in there any way, right. But passive aggressively.
Yeah, it's
like, oh hey, oh, boo boo.
Like, I just like between her and Paul gloating in the diary room. I wanted to turn off my sound. Like, I don't want to hear you talk anymore. Christmas, you are doing nothing in this game right now. You are totally misted by Paul right now. You're giving us nothing at home. A teeny bit in the diary room, but that's about it.
And she's
hey,
so
boo-boo.
Indignant about things
yes.
that she's always
yes.
just like, so you really thought you could go ahead and get one over on me?
It's mind-blowing, and it's just such bad sportsmanship, too. I mean, I wouldn't even mind it if we were getting a lot of that in the house, but it's always her. She's always the one who's indignant. She's the one who's beside herself, like, I can't believe you would do that. Like, how dare you? You don't flip-flop on people. Like, it's just, like, it's called Big Brother. Welcome to the party. Please play the game. But she's not there for it.
Did you really think you could talk secrets in the other room and not tell me?
I wish Mark would just tell her. I really, really wish Mark was safe for the week. I wish he had let his anger get the best of him and just say, yes, honey, we were talking. We want to take you down. You guys are all together. We're coming after your ass. That's all we were talking about. Sit your ass down. But he didn't say that.
Mark's often surprisingly passive. I feel like one of these moments, he's just going to snap. I mean, it's probably going to come when he can't finally win a competition to save himself. Mm. But I'm waiting for him to finally just like, just rip off his shirt and run through the glass door.
You know, Alex, we got a little bit of a tease also of Cody with Elena getting her to basically admit like, oh boy, everybody here is just trying to give it to Paul. And she seemed like she had some acknowledgement there. We'll have to see if that sunk in.
Yeah, but that's the problem is Elena can't do anything. Like, she's already iced out. Mark's iced out. And, like, they've been in such a way that they're scared. Like, Elena, they're, like, iced out on levels. You know what I mean? Like, where, like, they're scared to talk to the person below them. Like, well, I can't talk to Cody because I might go now as opposed to next week. Mm-hmm. Well, I can't talk to Mark because I might go in next week as opposed to 2 weeks from now. Well, I can't talk to Elena because, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, they've created this hierarchy of fear. And I mean, yeah, really. I mean, it is crazy. It's crazy that, I mean, the people that need to wake up the most are Matt and Raven. And they're the ones clearly on the bottom.
Okay.
But yeah, Raven just can't stop talking about how Jessica couldn't take the heat, so she got out of her kitchen. It's like, Raven, no, she couldn't take the undercooked food from your kitchen. That's what everyone's on about.
All right. Let's take a couple questions, and then I want to get into the live feeds from the weekend. And let's get into Andrew Kirk. What do you guys think about Mark winning three comps in 3 weeks to save himself that he can make a deep run? I mean, I think the interesting thing about Mark winning this competition in particular is that it wasn't a physical competition. I mean, is it possible? Possible. And Mark did very, very well. Brent, could Mark go on a run? Do you see him being somebody? He knows the game. Could he have like a Kevin Martin-esque run in him?
I mean, I guess, Rob, but it just, I mean, you know, look, I mean, I want to say yes to your question because that's the big brother that I was.
Okay, maybe boo-boo, okay.
That's the big brother that I was brought up on was, you know, power shifts every week. It's so funny looking back on the history of Big Brother, we really took for granted how many times we got excellent weeks of power shifts and fun stuff where, you know, it went back and forth and you never knew who was exactly safe in the house. But, you know, it feels like the last few seasons, it's just like, you know, between this and Battle of the Block, like, I mean, I would kill for a power shift at this point, but in order to do that, he's gonna have to win the big one again, like Derek talked about on your podcast last year. Derek Levasseur from BB16, you know what, Vito doesn't win anything, safety doesn't win anything. You can make your mark in the game by winning head of household. If he can win head of household, he could potentially change up the game, but if he doesn't do that, he's gone.
Okay. Let's take another question, and this one is Danny from the Bay. If Paul got put up in a double, is there even anyone on the block next to him that he would lose to at this point in time? So, okay, let's talk through that scenario, Alex. So let's say Mark wins HOH. He puts Paul up on the block, wants to give him a fair shot at the veto. So who sits next to Paul if his intention is to get Paul out of the house?
Probably still Alex. I mean, we've talked about it in the past. I mean, the biggest group now, you know, the group is still a big conglomerate for the most part. And, you know, Paul was kind of positioned in the middle, but now it's like they're eating away at the showmances, and the showmances are like more loyal to Paul than they are to like Alex and Jason and them. So by putting Alex up next to him, you take away Jason, you take away Kevin. Yeah, it becomes more interesting.
Brent, but doesn't every single person in that game, if they win the veto, take Paul off the block? Like, does Mark need to win the veto as well?
Yeah, and I don't even know putting him up against Alex is the way to get him out. I really don't.
Well, first, she would be like, guys, please, vote me out.
Christmas and Josh are much more loyal to Paul than Alex as well. So that kind of nullifies the Jason Kevin effect.
He's in the Derek position from BB16. I do not see a person on the board, and I'm looking at the chart right now. I do not see a person on the board that could be placed on the block against Paul, and the house would vote out Paul. It's just not possible. I think that Alex is probably the best option, but Christmas and Josh would be kingmakers in that scenario. And if Mark has his way, I mean, he really wants to target either Alex or Josh. He doesn't even really want to target Paul. He kind of wants to, but he kind of doesn't. They don't think they have the votes, so they kind of want to do like a half ass and sort of like ish target Paul by targeting maybe his second in command or somebody who he's close to, like Alex or Josh. But that's not going to do anything to change the game. You have to get Paul out of the house, and I don't see a way that you could do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what it's time for, Rob?
The Zingbot.
No. It's time for them to hide a hidden immunity TV remote control in the couch. That's what needs to happen now.
What will that do? We could change the channel?
No. Save yourself on eviction night. Maybe somebody will actually use one of these powers correctly this season.
Yeah. I mean, Brent, that, you know, we're joking, but, like, I mean, is the Zingbot the next thing we need to, like, hang our hopes on, that the Zingbot says something or another that ends up leaving the house guests at least somewhat more aware of what Paul is up to, and the Zingbot talks about how they're all just trying to help Paul win the game?
Yeah, but I don't even know if production would go for that. I mean, I know they have said stuff in the past, but usually it's not game-ish related. It's more about how America views them. But if they could turn that in such a way where it was like America views you as not playing the game, or America views you as, you know, helping somebody else to win, you're not self-interested, you know, then maybe that would change things in the House. You know, we've seen in past seasons when the Zingbot, whatever it has to say, you know, that you get such little information in the House. That, like, you know, a bullhorn over the fence is like taken as the Bible. So can you imagine what would happen if the Zingbot actually told them what we were thinking of them right now? It might, but Paul, on the other hand, might be able to wash it away and say, hey, you know, hey, you just have to put up with the Zingbot. Don't take him too seriously. He's fine. You know, I mean,
don't listen to him. He's lying. That's fake news.
Stupid
he's the
robot.
Vet, so they're going to defer to him. And that's just how it's going to be.
Okay. Let's do one more and then we'll do the live feeds. This is from Primal Instinct. Have we ever seen two people try to throw the same comp? I'm sure. Well, there's not really a lot of reasons. Well, yes, probably, you know, the first five HOHs of every single season. But in terms of Brent, if they would have tied 0-0, do we have any sense of what would happen? Like some sort of a toss up?
We don't have any sense what would happen, because in order for you to have a tiebreaker, so to speak, you'd have to like penalize the person who did worse, but you're really trying to do the best. So like, I don't know. I've said before that I think they would have placed both of them on the block and just drawn one person out of the bag. Like, you know, that's what I thought. If like four people tried to throw it, all four of you are up on the block as special nominees. Like, I feel like you have no other way to break a tie, because it's like, well, you have to ask you, it feels like you have to ask the contestants. So like, do you want to win this or do you not want to win this? Like, I mean, you have to go with the assumption that they're trying to avoid last place, but no tiebreaker would work to alleviate that.
Yeah, I mean, the reality is it's just never mattered before, right? Mm-hmm. Because this is the first season ever where losing a competition has a direct consequence of putting you up for eviction.
You got to feel like in the production booth that they felt like this was such a no-brainer for Cody to be able to throw. Like, all he had to do was not be in the right room. And you have to imagine that there was just a meltdown as they were watching, as the only antagonist in the whole house for Paul right now ends up blowing his chances.
Where no it's way. Like I'm sorry.
He's on. He walked to have not. He walked. No. Cody, move. No, Co. No. Come on.
Rob.
You idiot.
No, Rob, there's nothing here to see, really. Production doesn't care. You know how in the past they've said, you know, we don't care what happens. I believe them at this point. Because if they...
They
wanted Cody to be there, they would have put out some sort of physical HOH competition like Brendan got during Big Brother 12 with the ropes course and it taking, like, its endurance. You got to move these heavy things. Like, he would have won something like that. He or Mark would have won something like that hands down. The fact that they have these quizzes and these luck competitions, they don't care, Rob. They don't care.
Well, hold on. I think there's a difference between that to say that they're not rigging it for him.
Why
is
aren't
different
they rigging?
Than they don't. They wouldn't prefer. They would not prefer. There's no way that you could tell me they would not prefer.
Oh,
Cody
I suppose,
to stay in the
but
house.
They're not going
to
do anything. There's no Pandora's box coming. They're not going to. They're not going to magically make them into pairs. They're not going to give anybody a diamond veto. It's just. It's not going to happen, honey. Sorry.
Okay. All right.
Hidden remote control immunity idol.
All right. Let's get into talking about the live feeds. If you're going to bounce out here, we will be back on Wednesday night and Thursday night after the double eviction this week. Don't forget, and Friday night. So three nights of Big Brother coming up Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night. But for us in the meantime, let's do the live feeds.
The Office of Civil Defense has issued the following message. This is
a spoiler
warning.
A spoiler.
Warning means that an actual
spoiler
against this country has been detected and that protective action should be taken.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about what's going on the live feeds this weekend. And we got to, we got our veto. Got a veto game, Alex.
Sure did. Yeah, it was that Yankee swap competition everyone's so fond
of. Subway Series is coming up, so it's appropriate.
Yeah. We'll see about that.
Yeah. So, all right, so let's talk through. First, I guess let's get to the draw. All the drama coming up on Wednesday night ultimately is going to be all about, well, once Cody, you know, we got to get him into the veto somehow, and then we're going to see if he can play his way off the block.
No. I'll save you all. No, he was not selected. Cody was not selected. Paul and Mark were selected for the veto in addition to the players on the block and the head of household. So there was no hope for Cody, presumably, going into the veto competition. It was already locked and loaded. He was probably going to go home.
Okay. All right. So then I'm sure
Elena is like, hold my beer.
Yes. And then, Brent, a hard-fought battle for the power of veto with so much on the line.
Yeah, so much on the line. They're all clamoring for the power of veto at this point, Rob. No, obviously in these competitions, the veto comes out first because that's usually the first platter that you open is the veto. And then the prizes usually get worse as you do better in the competition because they want the swaps to happen. They want people to have sore feelings. And, you know, it's always fun to watch. Remember when Michelle had her trip taken away from her in BB10 and she got stuck with the unitard. I mean, like, it's good times. It creates problems in the house. And, you know, Elena and Alex decided to make a deal before this competition took place. Once they talked about, you know, what kind of a competition was going to happen, Elena actually went to Alex and initiated the deal and said, hey, you know, just don't curse me, okay? I won't curse you. You won't curse me. Okay, Alex is like, cool. You know, I won't curse you. Go to the veto. I think Mark or Matt was out like third or fourth or something, and he took the veto, and everyone else after him did not. No one else decided to take the veto. So Matt is the winner of the power of veto, but that's not the headline for the night. The headline for the night is that Elena, who is on the block and is presumably a pretty juicy target for most of the house, wins the competition, or is at least in the final two. I'm not exactly sure. I think she won. And she has the chance to take the veto, and she says, no, I'm not going to take the veto. I'm going to take the $5,000 that Alex is holding, and I'm going to stick her with a curse, which is one of the worst curses ever to be seen on Big Brother.
Alex, can you explain the curse?
It's whatever. I mean, it's not like she has anything to do. It's not that bad.
Oh, I don't know. This is a hot take. I feel like everything else is telling me that Alex is really suffering.
Whatever. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just me, but it's like, you know, that house is so boring. Like, she just has to, she's going around looking like the little kid from Up, and she's got to unveil a tent and cook everyone some delicious ballpark wieners every time that a bugle sounds. And that's cool, because if you're a have-not, you get to eat hot dogs.
Yeah, don't try them.
Hot dogs are delicious.
They are not. No. They are not delicious. They are soy hot dogs. They smell.
They smell awful.
And she doesn't even cook them for the right amount of time, so they're undercooked, just like Raven's food. It's an ongoing thing in the house.
Well, you know, you gotta take pride in your work.
Well, production has told her she's gonna have to do this 100 times during the week. She's gonna have to, you know, put up the tent. And nobody can help her. She's got to go to the storage closet. She's got to rip open the hot dogs, put them in the Tupperware, bring them out. No one can help her do that either. She's got to put up the tent, put up the grill. She's got a propane thing there to grill stuff. I'm hoping she like blows up the backyard. That'd be funny, actually. But cook the hot dogs. She's got to go to all 10 house guests and give them a hot dog. The have-nots can eat the hot dog if they so choose, but I really wouldn't want to eat it if I was you. I'll take the slop. And then after that, it's all over. She has to take everything down, put it back in her bag, and lug this huge backpack around. And remember, bitch is like 100 pounds. So it's like, I mean, it almost weighs as much as her. So she's got to lug it around the house in this terrible costume. And usually, by the minute she gets it put back into the bag, production blows the bugle again, and she has to go do it again. So I think she's only on like her 7th time by this point. So she's going to get woken up many, many times during the night to have to do this. It's going to be very fun.
Okay. All right. So
yeah, that sucks. But I feel like being attached to someone where you have to like go to the bathroom together and stuff, like that's worse to me. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I like to grill. I feel like when like Jackie, didn't she have to like polish Vanessa's armor all night?
I like to grill.
We'll get to the shackled part, but they only have to be shackled together for 48 hours. Like, it's only 48 hours, which is like no time. So it's only two nights. She has to do this for the entire next 7 days. Like, it's going to be terrible. And she's the head of household.
Yeah.
Anyway, I love it. I love it. Look, I know it's terrible gameplay by Elena, and it really, really is. She went, made a deal with someone. She broke that deal in front of the house. She took money out of someone else's hands, and she pissed off the HOH all in one fell swoop. But it's not going to matter this week in this bizarro game.
Why not, Brent? Why isn't there enough here? She's sitting on the block. She didn't take the veto. She pissed off the HOH. She took her money. She's making her be punished. Yep. She was the backup target. People want her out. She's attached to this other guy that people want out of the house. She's sitting
because Paul is scared of Cody. That's the only answer. I mean, Paul is scared of Cody, and he's not that worried about Elena because Elena has groveled to him where Cody won't grovel. And that's really what it comes down to. I mean, ultimately, you're looking at a situation where, I mean, this whole week is stupid. I mean, Alex putting Jason on the block is so stupid. I mean, that's like the kind of move that's the move that got Jordan Parhar sent home. If people are paying attention, that should backfire right there. Just putting your closest ally on the block is insanely stupid, but nobody cares about that. Then we've got Elena throwing the veto where she's met. Like, this is, you know, again, to make a BB16 comparison, this is the only veto Victoria won, is when everyone was so sure they had the house on lock with their big group of alliance that they were like, oh, I'll take the cash. Victoria can have it. And Victoria later was like, I want a veto. Like, this was that competition. And this is exactly how, you know, Matt came to win his. And now, you know, to make things even crazier, you know, Matt is the third nominee. So if he's to use it on himself, then they can't put Cody up there. So Matt is going to have to be convinced to use it on someone else and leave himself on the block. So it's just stupid, like in stereo.
Before? I mean, the Matt winning the veto, and he's not going to save himself, and he's not saving his showmance. He's just using it on somebody
Whistlenut.
Else.
Yeah, he's
Why?
Using it on Whistlenut. Yeah. That's what's going to happen. Because
they told him
I mean,
to.
We're at the point where the game is almost broken with this group.
Rob, well, that's why I said it was, I'm ready to have the funeral. Right.
People are not acting self-interested in any way, shape, or form.
No, Matt is a team player. I mean, he doesn't care about his individual.
He said, I gotta throw this competition this week, because then that'll prove how loyal I am. Who said he's unloyal? Who is accusing Matt of being unloyal? He doesn't do anything.
And that never buys you anything in this game. Like, doing a favor, I mean, there's no guarantee. Sometimes it might, but that's only because the person decides it does. Like, value only exists because people decide to place it there. You doing a gesture for someone, like, there's never any guarantees in this game. And as it happens, there's not going to be anything gained from him doing that.
Yeah. So, again, tip your hat to Paul. He's done a great job, but in the words of the great Jeremy Collins, that for everybody involved in this game,
these guys are so dumb.
They really are. Yep.
Absolutely.
All right. Let's take some questions, and let's go to Ian. You guys, like Rob with Johnny Mac and Steve, are overreacting. The anti-Paul conversations are starting to happen now. Okay, I hope so, Ian.
Oh, okay, Ian. Okay, I have some land here in Serbia that I want to sell you. It's actually very profitable. You can buy it right now. But if you believe that real conversations are happening against Paul, I got another bridge to sell you.
And again, I'm not saying even necessarily that, oh, good, then they'll vote Paul out of the game and Paul will be gone. I'm not even saying, but like, can we at least see somebody put up a fight against Paul and just not be a house full of pushovers? If Paul's going to win the game, let's make Paul earn it. And I mean, Paul's done a really great job, but there's been no resistance whatsoever.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, I think it's, you know, you watch these people on feeds all day, and you do get the sense that some of them are just, you know, maybe they convinced casting they were there to win, but they're not there to win. I mean, Matt, I had a secret hope that Matt's always saying, like, I just want to make it to jury. Like, maybe on the off chance, like, once he gets to jury, he's going to care less and he's going to start playing. But no, once he got to jury, he cares less. And he's like, well, if it's me, it's me. Like, he's going to make what he's going to make. So I don't know if we want to, like, you know, ratchet up the incentives as we go up or do something to really incentivize people to play harder as they get closer to the end or something. But I mean, it's just not working. Like, there are just too many people complacent with not winning and going out in jury because they're going to make the same amount of money.
And not for anything. It's been so easy for Paul to this point. And Cody, he's already got him out of the game. He came back and Jessica used a halting hex on one of his HOHs. It shouldn't even be this difficult right now if it wasn't for production.
Yeah, I know.
Like,
they
put up two roadblocks in his way.
Yeah.
They're the only people trying to stop him in any way.
Nope, they were just speed bumps. They weren't roadblocks. And it's just a march to the finish for Paul. By the way, just to clarify about that veto competition, Mark ended up getting a prize for a trip to Colorado. By the way, Elena did win the competition. I was unclear about that. Alex got second place, and she took the $5,000 and gave someone else something bad, and then Elena decided to take the $5,000 from Alex and give her the camping curse. So that's exactly how things happen. Paul is shackled to Christmas right now for 48 hours in a tandem skydiving outfit, and
everybody's probably like, oh, Christmas is so lucky.
I know,
she gets to be shackled to Paul the whole time.
Right.
Oh, man. I would
Although, incidentally, they're not shackled right now because Christmas was Paul was selected to be part of an Outback dinner, which is taking place at this moment, and he gave his spot to Christmas very smartly, and nobody's even going to pay attention to this, but I do. It's very, very smart that he did this because people who he trusts are going out to Outback dinner, and then all the rest of the people staying behind with Cody, now he can like shepherd over them like a good watchdog. He's on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's
really By the way, Whistlenut also got another costume punishment. He's wearing the extreme-a-tard. So every time production says, you know, you're so extreme or you're so anything about extreme, he's got to say, I'm so extreme. He's wearing like this big X on his hat. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very fun. He's a good sport about it. So that's fun at least.
Yeah. Alex, so the Outback dinner is happening tonight.
Yeah, that was tonight. The big bloke beers are flowing.
Yes. Well, that was if we go back to Big Brother 18 last season, like that was the night that we saw that like Frank and everybody was starting to get really drunk. This was Bridget that night.
Thank you for that, actually.
That was great. And of course, this was, people are asking for this in the chat.
This is a damn good steak. This thing is cooked to perfection, and I'm all about it because these biceps ain't gonna feed themselves, so your boy needs his meat.
Your boy needs
meat. You know, Rob, I have a secret suspicion. We don't know exactly what the Friday night episode is going to be. Like, we still, like, there's an episode scheduled for this Friday. I couldn't for the life of me tell you what that content is going to be. My guess is maybe it's just going to be a 60-minute Outback dinner where they reminisce about some certain moments.
Yeah, but we need all of them there for that. They can't have half the people and not Paul there.
They'll cut inside to the people inside the house who are just having conversations like and saying, I wonder, what do you think they were cheering about out there?
Let's see. Oh, I think probably
some Bloomin' Onions.
We have what the Friday night show is.
Breaking news are happening now.
According to CBS.com, Friday night episode, Big Brother 19 house guest Paul hosts the 1 hour long special Friendship Chat featuring Paul for 1 hour.
That's a joke, right?
He's not even going to tell the other house guests aren't even invited. It's just going to be they're going to do a 1 hour of Paul.
That's not serious.
No, I don't think so.
Sounded serious.
Yeah, he's trying to make it serious.
Wit wants to know, has it become too easy to backdoor targets now? It seems like there's very little risk to the strategy. Well, they, in fairness to production, they invented a competition to help a person who is going to potentially be backdoored.
I really believe that Friendship Chat was going to be the Friday episode.
We don't know it's not that.
I wouldn't put anything past them at this point.
Is it too easy? Do we need to readdress the backdoor issue, Brent?
It's never been a problem, I feel like, before. You always take a pretty huge risk by, you know, leaving someone off the nomination block. If they win, they could save somebody else. I just feel like this is what happens when everybody's in a big group. So really, there's like one single person. Like, even if Elena's chip had come out of the bag, Cody had said to Elena, you know, I will save you 100% if I win the veto. And she's like, okay, good. But I'm not even sure she would have picked him if her chip would have come out of the bag. I don't think she would have because she's so scared. Everyone's so scared in the house right now. Like I said.
Okay.
Yeah, the mechanics of the game are fine.
Yeah,
I mean, it's the players. The players aren't playing to win. They're playing to survive.
Yes.
And when you're playing to not go home this week, you're not playing to win. Because players that are playing to win, we see it all the time. I mean, you take a swing and you're going to finish ninth, or you're going to set yourself up to finish first. Those are the people who, at some point, like at the end of the game, you have to be the captain. You have to be the one who's steering the ship. And if you're not, then you're going to lose, or you were already like off the boat to begin with. So, I mean, it comes to a point where, like, you know, this is Paul's until someone takes it from him. And the only way to take it from him is to rally numbers and make something happen before it's too late. And it just, that doesn't seem to be anyone's aim. So if that's not anyone's goal, if people can't even see that that's how they win the game, that that's what they need to do on that, like, just basic fundamental level, it's very hard to see how they could, like, actually.
It's so odd though, Rob, because it feels like so many people in this cast were miscast. Like, I mean, Matt is openly saying in the house that he's not a very aggressive person. He's not a very aggressive player. That's just not the kind of person. I'm like, how did you get on this show? Like, was it literally just the way you looked? Was that it? Because that's pretty pathetic. I mean, at least some of the people in the past, like when you played Paulie, I pine for Paulie right now. That's how yeah. bad. Because Paulie was at least self-interested. He wanted to win $500,000 and he didn't care who he had to push over to get to the end. But these people, they're just they're pretty awful.
Yeah. Brent, do you think that Paul's victory could be jeopardized in his next HOH if his HOH letter is from James Comey? Is that possible?
It is possible. You got to make sure the timing on that letter is always the problem. When he gets the letter from Comey, is it, you know, if it's 1 month ahead of his victory or a couple weeks, it could be dicey there. You know.
Oh, by the way, Rob, you were talking earlier about Zingbot. I'll tell you who's going to get buried by Zingbot when he finally comes in. That's Raven.
Yeah, probably.
Because Raven was talking all day on the feeds today about how Outback gave her food poisoning. And there's no surer way to get the edit to turn against you than to be bashing a sponsor on feeds.
Right. Let's go to Ben King. So if anybody but Cody wins the veto, he's done. If he does win, he can save Elena. So why is she so worried?
Well, I mean, Cody didn't win the veto. Why is it? Well, Elena's worried because she's pissed off the HOH and because the rest of the house guests, and I hope this comes back to burn them. I really, really hope it does. They've decided to not tell Elena that she is safe. They want her. They're just going to leave her in the lurch. They're going to say, well, we don't really know how we're voting right now because everyone's so pissed off at her for taking the $5,000. So even though Cody is going to be going this week, most likely like 99.9%, they're going to let Elena stew about it on the block and think there's a possibility that she's going to go home, which, again, I hope it comes back and bites them in the ass. That'd be glorious.
Yeah.
Elena's game is beginning to be, I think, a little reminiscent of, I remember, Rob, when you and Josh went back and covered Survivor Borneo, and you're talking about how Jervis at the merge, like, well, if it happens again, and they just keep voting as a group, and they're saying, no, there's no alliance, and, you know, the other group is just voting individually, and like 3-4 times it happens, Jervis is like, maybe if it happens one more time,
right.
Like, this is Elena going
right.
on the block continually as a pawn and saying, like, well, I feel like I'm going to be expendable soon, but I'm not now. So, you know, Paul's my only lifeline. Like, try something different because the status quo is not
working. Yeah, I wanted to shake her when she was in the room with Paul and Alex and Jason. And she said, look, you know, I understand that you want me to go on the block as a pawn, but if anything goes wrong with this plan, I'm going to be voted out. And that's making me feel expendable. And she got silence from all three people. Awkward looks. I'm like, honey, that should tell you all you need to know. They don't care about you. You are the backup target right now. Don't you see that? I feel like she doesn't want to face the reality. She's living in denial right now. That's what's going on.
And I liked her coming into the season, but she's pretty useless.
She really is. She is useless. And she said she threw that HOH competition. She threw the Hocus Pocus competition.
So she threw the veto.
And clearly threw the veto.
I know.
She's on the block.
I know.
She won the veto and elected not to have it.
Yeah. Even the people
worse.
Who are like, you know, even just a moderately woke in this game are not very fun to root for. So I don't, again, who am I rooting for? Like Evil Dick said that we'll all be winners when the season is over. And I have to agree with him.
Okay.
I'm rooting for you, bro.
Look, I don't want to get like, we can be frustrated.
Am I too negative? I'm sorry.
I'm not going to cross that bridge, Brent. Not co-signing that.
Okay. All right.
Okay, Matt G, it's looking more and more like it's Whistlenut's game to lose. Whoa, I'll have what he's right. having.
Yeah, Whistlenut doesn't know anything about what happened when. He's going to become, he's going to get like last place in the Final Four veto. So he better hope that Alex like literally pulls him to the end, or that Paul sees him as such a goat. But I don't think Paul would see him as a goat. I think Paul would see him as somebody he wants to get out, because he has a family and he's a pretty sweet guy, and he even has good relationships with some of the enemies in the house right now, like Mark and Cody. So I don't think that Whistlenut's going to make it anywhere near the end. And he's not in Paul's plan.
Final HOH, part one, bull riding.
He's
part two,
get there.
Lasso, and part three, let's name members of Whistlenut's family.
Yeah. All right. Let's do one last question here tonight. Was Christmas not medically cleared to roll onto a square? Scott St. Pierre wanted to know. So was she not participating in that competition, Brent?
No, I think she decided not to drink the potion. She drank the red one, is what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yeah,
she didn't know what the competition was.
That's what they did last week, was everybody but Christmas decided to compete. And this week again, everybody but Christmas... She wanted to be the one to throw it, I think, like, and compete in the veto. But Alex told her, basically, honey, you're useless. We need somebody who can beat somebody else and win the veto. And that's not you. So, girl, bye.
Yeah. We have to go with someone who can actually probably play. So, thanks, bud.
All right. Great job here tonight. Of course, Taryn will be back with the live feed updates coming up on tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. If you're listening to the podcast version of this and you want to go back and check those out, they are on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Robin's Podcast, or Scott has also been posting those on the Reality TV Rehap Ups YouTube channel, which you can find on YouTube, or just go to robinswebsite.com/YT. That'll take you there as well for the Rehap Ups YouTube channel. Okay, Brent and Alex will be back on the LFC Roundtable on Monday, right?
Yeah, and really quickly, I wanted to just say, just give it like a teeny bit of credit to Cody. He has tried to socialize with people, and he did try to talk to Alex earlier yesterday about not putting him on the block, because he correctly points out to her, look, I'm not coming after you. I can be a weapon for you. I love you and Jason. I would never turn against you, but it's just too little too late. She instantly went back and reported everything to Paul, and Cody and Jessica are paying the price for canoodling so much and ice themselves. I love what Cody's doing. I just wish he would have done it a lot sooner.
Okay. So looking at the chat room for hashtag suggestions, I'm seeing a lot of hashtag doormat, but we didn't say that on the show.
That
the chat room is trying to make that happen.
I was trying to think about what we talked about. It's like we talked about everyone playing cowardly, and we talked about Outback. So we could go with like big bloke fear.
Big bloke fear. Well, I like that. I had this sort of suggestion from Ryan of hashtag Alex Grillmaster about how Alex would not mind that pun. Would not mind the Alex Ow punishment.
That's great.
I like to grill.
Yeah, the Alex in the house is grilling, and Alex out here loves the grill. That's perfect. Alex Grillmaster. I love that.
Yeah. Alex, next time you come over, I'll get the hot dogs ready.
Yeah, sounds
good.
Like
to grill. Okay.
Yeah, I don't like them undercooked.
Thank you.
I like them kind of crispy.
Yes.
All right, well, you're going to be grilling, so go.
Good.
You do
glad
you,
glad we
boo-boo.
Worked this out.
Okay. All right. Grill by, Miriam. Grill by, okay? All right, Brent. Check the live LFC Roundtable out as well on Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific for that. All right. Anything else?
Nope, we're good.
Okay,
so fun season. People start playing the game. That's what we want.
Okay, we'll see. Okay. It's always darkest before the dawn.
Okay, or before it goes totally black. Yeah,
that's right.
Before the end.
Right. So we'll see. Let's see what happens in the double eviction. It could be some hijinks that go on Thursday night, and who knows where we go from there, but it might just be a pretty straight shot until we get to that point. That being said, join us Wednesday and Thursday night. Alex, any guests coming up?
Yeah, we got Ronnie Talbot from Big Brother 11 on Wednesday. Yeah,
rescheduled.
I haven't had Ronnie on the podcast ever.
No, I talked to him during Big Brother 14.
Okay, but it's been a minute.
It's been 5 years,
before my time.
Yeah. So it's been a while since we had Ron.
By the way,
we
need to, like, Alex, I'm just telling you, we need to get, like, Jessica Graff on this podcast, like, yesterday. Like,
so a lot of people have said to me,
I saw you reached out. You have as many avenues to Jessica as I do because she doesn't follow me or nothing. So.
I'll do you, boo boo.
You make that happen.
I've been getting a lot of people saying that, Jessica did a Periscope or something, and she said that she would come on RHAP. We should contact her.
Okay.
Okay, well, how do we do that?
Yeah.
We'll see.
Brent did what I know how to do, which is tweet at people.
I did attempt to send her a message through another social media channel, but we'll see if I have a
use
feeling her channels are being jammed up right now.
Right. I would assume that as well. But I am your biggest fan, Jessica. We love you here. So everybody just, like, clip this and send it to her. That'd be great.
Clip. There you go. I would love to talk to her, but we'll give her a fair interview, Brent.
I'm not going to kiss her ass. I'll call her out for the bad, the Ramsey's move. I mean, girl. Yeah.
Yeah. This is... I'm the Jake Tapper of podcasting. Okay? All right. So, good stuff. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. We've got our Game of Thrones post-show recap up already on postshowrecaps.com, so check that out. And over the weekend, I went to go see the Emoji movie I mentioned. Check out the Review AF. Me and Danny and Tice talking about the Emoji movie up on robinswebsite.com. Amazing Race Canada. I heard they took the Canadian Citizens test. That's up on our Rehap Ups as well. And then, of course, Taryn's got the Monday morning update every morning this week, except for Friday. I'm not sure if they're going to turn the feeds off or not before the Friday night show. And the LC Roundtable again on Monday night. So check that out as well. All right? All right. Have a great night, everybody. Take care. Bye.